Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have been crying and whining and complaining for 3 days because our beloved Birds are out of the playoffs. It is time to turn the frown upside down and get this party started. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, let's go. We throw a four-day party every day. Yesterday didn't feel like much of a party. We tried to get silly. We tried to take it, you know, out of bounds a little bit, but we were stuck in technical breakdown mode. I want to try to get away from that a little bit. And last night, thank you, NBA, for a beautiful MLK Day full of action. Our Hawks got a win. No, stop winning. And last night, Cavaliers-Warriors gave us everything we wanted. We got a posterization, Kevin Durant on LeBron James. Then LeBron James comes back on KD and stamps him against the glass with one of his famous block shots. I'm in a very, very good mood, John. I am like 98% cleansed. Even last night, I would just drift off to Falcons losing to Eagles, and it would sting, it would hurt. But I have woke up today, John, in a much, much better mood. I'm ready to turn the page. I have already figured out rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4 for our Falcons in the draft. I'm already looking ahead.
You have way too much time on your hand. The fact that you're into the fourth round, I can't tell you the first round of the draft. Matter of fact, we still don't even know where the Falcons are going to pick. Actually, I think we do know where they're going to pick now. It's like 26, 27.
26.
There you go. Okay. I'll throw a name at the wall at 26 and hope it sticks. There's no chance I could get to round 4. That's between now and April. I've got a lot of time to try to navigate through the draft malaise. I feel better today as well, Rick. I got home, went to 9-Round Fitness, got me a good workout there. Finally played flag football for the first time in a month and a half because of holidays and time off and traveling with the Falcons. We lost, but it was just good to be back out there. We had an epic collapse last night.
Was Lisa Salters on the sideline and going into the training area and reporting on John Michaels, Preacher Man, that he has an Achilles injury,
no,
a soreness, and he's questionable to return? Did we need to go to the sideline reporter about you?
No, not at all. I actually had a touchdown catch, so I was good in the fantasy stats yesterday, but we blew a 32-14 lead with 5 minutes to go. Our quarterback, unfortunately, Scott's my boy. He threw three straight balls that were intercepted.
32-14?
Yeah.
Now, is the other side and the rest of the league trolling you guys
no.
with tweets about 32-14?
No,
was it that bad?
Because we went back-to-back with championships, so people are really happy to beat us in the regular season. Come playoff time, they know what time it is. They don't win.
You know what time it is? It's actually time to party, because whenever there's weather, it turns into a party down here, like at the W or if we have to stay or whatever. And a lot of people like lament this because it sort of changes their plans and all that kind of stuff. I love it. Now, I'm an idiot because I got a text this morning from Daryl saying, hey, man, you know, Terry wants you to pack a little bag because we might have to stay over because of weather. And I looked at it, and I'm like, first of all, I'm a Minnesotan, so, like, I got this, right? But second of all, I looked at weather.com, John, and I'm like, and I thought I was looking in Atlanta or Snowville where I live, and it said no precipitation, you know, 25, 30 degrees or whatever. I'm like, what are they talking about? There's not even any weather. So I just hopped in my Kia Sorento and came on to work. And then I get to work, and I pull up the weather, the little app on my iPhone, and it was weather for Philadelphia. No, weather for Minneapolis. It wasn't even weather for Atlanta. So I'm an idiot. I'm going to have to drive home and then drive back with, a razor because I'm disheveled, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like 3 days
me
not
too.
Shaving
me
here.
Me too. I'm a little disheveled.
You know, no more baby face. I got a little taco meat on my face right now.
A little taco meat. Nothing wrong with that. Well, you know, we were told we'll play it by ear. We'll see how the weather goes tonight. I said, you know what? If I have to drive back, I'll come back tonight. I'm not going to wear the same clothes tomorrow. I have a meeting with sales, and that's always important.
Really? Look at how ambitious. Look at this right here. Are you kidding me? We have a meeting with salespeople last week. What was it, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, but
Thursday?
That was very informal. That was a room, and it was the sales guys that don't know us are going, all right, yeah, okay, there's a bunch of people
who's
here.
Who's that John Michaels guy? I don't.
I asked a question that Terry gave me, too. That was a really good question. So I figured I can a little bit, maybe things will start rolling my way.
So you're meeting with Dave, the new general sales manager? That's awesome, dude.
Might as well put
I wish you well.
Look,
look at the ambition here, Preacher Man. You like this?
Well, I figured new ownership, new salespeople, you know, new opportunities. How about that?
They don't know about you yet. Their opinion hasn't been disheveled yet.
Who are you? Who are you? Mr. Three-Day Weekend is back.
Right.
You know,
what voice
we,
is that?
Are we doing this? Are we going to have a kumbaya, little camp out tonight?
Let's do it.
Are we doing it?
Yeah. Like, we can use, because, you know, at the W, they have a little thing of vodka waiting for you.
Do they?
We just pop that baby right open.
A $45 little thing of vodka waiting for you in your room.
I have a bottle at home I could just bring if that's the case.
Me too.
Yeah, here's the thing. I was gone over the weekend. Me and my two older brothers.
How was it, bro?
It was fantastic. We have a little thing we call work weekend where we go down and we just do manual labor. And there's a reason I work in radio, because I have no green thumb. My two older brothers, they don't mind getting out in the yard and getting dirty. I don't mind doing that once a year. And I come struggling in this morning. My back hurts. My legs hurt. My arms hurt. Because I did typical yard work that most humans do every weekend during the summer. So I'm all sore. And I'm sitting there looking at this. And we get the text saying, you know, prepare to stay. If I'm gone another night, my wife's going to divorce me. She's going to leave me if I come in after being gone for 3 days. And then I go, well, got to go back down to the W tonight. I know it's
duty calls.
I know it's a
calls.
Mandate. And we got to be safe, finger quotes. Everywhere, but is this just a cheap excuse for us to sit around in the lobby of the W and have a drink?
And Terry will be in that room in three.
No,
two,
he knows.
One.
And look, he's the one that put it on. He knows we're trying to be safe.
Preacher Man, how you feeling today?
I was feeling good till I got a text message. Now I'm feeling salty.
And your kids likely will not have to go to school tomorrow, which creates more logistics.
Oh,
for
there's no might. If it's going to rain hard,
I'm looking at my phone. All right, 6 p.m., 30%, 7 p.m., 60%, 8 p.m., 60%, 9 p.m., 40%, and it's done. Give me a break.
It's tomorrow they're worried about some possible black ice.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's going to be icy.
That's what it is.
But it'll be a wintry mix.
I got your wintry mix right here because that's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Oh, we'll start.
I'm proud of the effort that our guys put in throughout the entire year. Coaching staff, players, everybody worked extremely hard, gave everything they had, and we fell a little bit short, which is disappointing.
That's Matt Ryan, and it is disappointing. I mean, we're trying to laugh to keep from crying right now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, because we'd love to be talking about an NFC championship game and a trip to Minnesota and all that good stuff. We're not. We're going to talk a lot this offseason about what went wrong. We're going to ask that question today about what went wrong. Matt Ryan didn't have the year he did a year ago. Is he part of the problem? Do you have a solution to get rid of him? If you do, I think you're crazy, but I know there's people that have that idea. There was some Falcons logistics that actually happened yesterday, and this is something that's more for moving forward, but they signed 9 players to reserve future contracts. Basically what that means is they'll be part of the 90-man player max when the rosters expand. Reggie Davis is probably the name you most likely recognize on there. He's the only one. Daniel Brunskill, a guy that was on the offensive line in preseason. And then it's some other guys that may have an opportunity to try to make a team moving forward.
Branch, the safety.
Yeah, Marcellus Branch.
Yeah, Burton, a cornerback. There are a couple of guys that I remember from the preseason. So we'll see what happens with them. They're obviously...
Oh, JT Jones is back. We liked him.
Yeah, we do like JT Jones. But these are deep, deep roster fringe guys.
Yep.
Unlikely to make the team. Which brings me to a tweet. A trolling tweet by my second favorite Atlanta Falcon. Yes, Keanu Neal is still my first. Tack McKinley is my second. I've got a jersey for both. Tack trolls the Saints. He says, when you get eliminated from the playoffs, but you see the Aints get eliminated, and he puts a gif of his sack dance against the L.A. Rams. So, Tack McKinley, love you, bro. In terms of Saturday, you know, he has his heart ripped out losing a playoff game. Sunday watch, Diggs goes down the sideline for Minnesota, knows that the Saints take an L, and he immediately trolls them. So it's nice to know that Tack's head is in the right place.
Yeah, and if you go down and read some of the comments, of course, the Saints fans immediately start with the 28-3 and all of that stuff because it's what they do. And that's why Falcon fans have had a good time with all the memes. I've had more memes sent to me. And you guys can send them on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. The Saints memes are hilarious. I can't lie. You know, the 28-3 ones, there were some ones that you couldn't help but laugh at. There's some Saints ones that are pretty damn funny.
The best troll job I've ever seen on our Falcons was when Julio dropped the pass against Carolina and he was flat on the ground with his head kind of mushing into the turf and it said, It said, what did it say? Be like Julio or do the Julio. Yeah. Or, and it had just dudes like just laying down. Like,
I have to show you.
Scrunching their face into something. It was actually pretty funny.
You probably didn't look at my Twitter page to be mentioned later. I just put a video. I quote retweeted somebody yesterday. It's a video of all these different things that Marcus Williams was doing in that pose. It's hilarious. I'll show it to you during the break. And again, if you follow me on Twitter, on my page, then you'll see what I put up there yesterday.
Just search John Michaels,
yeah.
and you will see John Michaels, and then you'll find his actual Twitter handle. Elsewhere, what's up? Because we got a bunch of Falcons talk coming up. Hawks beat the Spurs, and I know the Spurs were shorthanded, but this is a feel-good for our Atlanta Hawks on MLK Day. You're on national/global TV. It's Coach Bud against Coach Pop, and you get the win. I think I read the stat on Conte's Twitter. Third win in the last 14 years for our Hawks against the Spurs. Something crazy like that. So enjoy the feel-good win, and now stop winning games.
There was no Kawhi Leonard. Spurs have lost 4 out of their last 5 without Kawhi Leonard. Again, it's some kind of maintenance throughout, but you start to wonder, is Kawhi a guy right now that may not be as effective moving down the stretch this year?
Well, it's just been injury after injury for him. And so and you know how Pop is going to, you know, treat him with kid gloves. But San Antonio still has an elite record. They're still third in the West, you know, ahead of Minnesota and obviously below Golden State and Houston. So, but, you know, dude, I've been over San Antonio for a few years here. Now we get to the big enchilada last night, 8 o'clock on TNT. I hope you all watched it, man. The Warriors beat the Cavaliers again. And it was one of the best first halves of basketball I've seen all year. First half, the Cavaliers were doing everything. You had Isaiah Thomas diming LeBron James, flying through the air with alley-oops. And you had a great exchange as Kevin Durant posterizes LeBron. And then LeBron comes back and stamps him against the glass. It was the good stuff last night. And Charity was even watching the second half with me, John, and actually not on her phone, actually paying attention. I was like, look at my girl watching hoops with her man. And in the fourth quarter, it just came down to the greatness of the Warriors. And, John, they make it look so freaking easy. And that's what the great ones do. Is there any doubt that this is the best shot-making team in NBA history with 3 of the top 10 shooters of all time, Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant? It's amazing. We're really spoiled watching this team.
Yeah, it is. They're one of the great teams ever. And after this year, they'll meet your dynasty criteria because I truly think they're going to win another championship.
There's no doubt about it.
And then that'll be 3 out of 4. And if it wasn't for blowing a 3-1 lead, it would have been 4 in a row for the Golden State Warriors. They're just that group. I was watching college hoops last night. Miami blew a 13-point lead with 6 minutes to go. They were dominating Duke, and then they weren't dominating Duke.
How did the Hawks' first-round pick look?
13-12.
Okay.
Marvin Bagley's good. Duke's got Gary Trent Jr. won the game for me. He hit like 7 threes and a lot of them late in the game. Bagley was good, but DeJuan Huell was going. I think DeJuan Huell, Miami's big guy, had 17-10 going right back at him. So
elsewhere, what's up? Hugh Freeze in T-Town meeting with Nick Saban, maybe taking over for Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator. I like it.
Oh, dude, that is just the rich getting richer. I'll tell you right now, pencil 2 teams in the playoffs. Clemson and Alabama are in. Everybody else is fighting for 2 spots.
So Cleveland Farrell and Christian Wilkins are coming back.
And Austin
Clemson.
Bryant.
And Austin Bryant. And the first 2 I said were like top 15, top 10 picks. This feels like Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al
Absolutely.
Horford with the Florida Gators. Although they were going for back-to-back, and Clemson's kind of doing a redemption thing. But good for them.
Take a break. We'll come back. Question we're going to pose right now. Was play calling the problem this year? We'll start to break that down next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
One thing I've learned playing 10 years in this league is that past success, prior success, or lack of prior success really doesn't have any bearing on the following season.
That's Matt Ryan, baby. And I don't know about that. I mean, we carry over the Super Bowl back in the playoffs. Hopefully we can come back next year and be a playoff team once again and continue our status as a contender. But he's right. That group ain't going to be back together whole next year. It's Rick Hamlin. It is John Michaels throwing our midday party. Mm-hmm. Come on in here, 404-741-0929. Hey, at the top of the hour, I want to tell you about this. We are going to take your calls and interact with y'all. And we're going to give you our headlines for the 2017 Atlanta Falcons. We want your headlines as well. So just a short phrase or short sentence to kind of sum up the season. And we're all very excited for our slice of life, which is next about 20 minutes from now. What office policies drive you nuts? But we're here talking about Steve Sarkisian right now, John. And I want to start the conversation with this. I think it is a little bit too easy, a little too simplistic to simply scapegoat Steve Sarkisian for the Falcons' failures and the fact that they're out of the playoffs right now.
Of course it is. Offensive coordinators and quarterbacks are usually the easiest to blame. And a lot of times there's merit to that. So I don't want to knock fans that say, hey, it's just on him, because I think there is culpability to go around. Part of it is on Steve Sarkisian. Part of it's on Matt Ryan. Part of it's on the offensive line. Part of it's on leading the league in drop passes. Part of it's on lack of execution and in general. Part of it's on untimely penalties, negative plays. All of it on the offensive side ties together, and you look at it, and unfortunately it comes up with a division round loss. If you would have told us before the year you're just going to get the division round and lose, every one of us would have said that's not what the goal is. The goal this year, coming off a Super Bowl loss, was simply to win the Super Bowl. So they came up short of their expectations. There's no way to sugarcoat that. There's no way to say, hey, all right, we made it to the divisional round. That's awesome. To say it's a failure is also wrong as well. Failures, and we talked some about this yesterday, that's the Giants, that's the Raiders, teams that were supposed to make the playoffs and are now picking in the top 10 of the draft and are changing head coaches. Those are failures. The Falcons is a disappointment, but it's not a failure. But the question for me, Rick, is simple. Was the failure simple as play calling and nothing else? And we'll let you guys sound off on that.
No, definitely not. John, we, I believe, set an NFL record for drop interceptions. That's balls that hit our guys and went to the other guys. We had a freaking butt interception this year against the New Orleans Saints. We had Devontae Freeman had a little spell there where he was turning the ball over or putting the ball on the ground. You know, we definitely had leakage at both guard spots this year. You know, you could go on. They're, especially the first half of the season, missed tackling was an issue. Mm-hmm. And you saw it rear its ugly head against Philadelphia, specifically when it came to Jay Ajayi. Okay, they really – our guys don't match up. And, John, I love the team's speed, you know, fast and physical and the whole thing that we predicate our defense on. But we don't match up with the 225-pound guys that are fast and big and strong. You know what I'm saying? Like, our defense would not match up well with a Leonard Fournette. He would be a matchup nightmare for us. And Jay Ajayi is in that class of that big back who can still move. So there's all kinds of blame to go around. Now, on bar stools, in barbershops, mm-hmm. it's to me, try to up the intellect of your sports opinions here. If you want to throw Sark into the washing machine of people to blame, go ahead. But if you want to say that this is all on Sark, come on, man. And I go back to the poll that I had after we lost to the Eagles. Who are you most mad at? It was a runaway for Steve Sarkisian. But Steve Sarkisian, who definitely screwed up at least a couple of play calls on the final drive, did not drop a ball on 2nd and 20 on the second to last drive, did not jump too soon on the fourth down play, did not throw a horrible wasted pass out of bounds on first down. Okay, players did that. Did Steve Sarkisian play soccer on a gift pick at the end of the first half?
No.
That wasn't Steve Sarkisian, man. So to me, Julio Jones and Keanu Neal, and I ranked it. I had Julio number one, Keanu number two, and Sark number three in terms of me playing the blame game on Saturday.
I wanted to go back just for reference as to what happened in year one under Kyle Shanahan as opposed to year one under Steve Sarkisian. Kyle Shanahan, we had this same conversation at the end of the 2015 season. Difference was at the end of 2015, you were 8-8. You had started 5-0 and finished, what was that? That would be 3-8 down the stretch. And it was a fail. You went from being on the top of the division to not even making the playoffs. This year, you start 3-3, and then you finish the rest of the year on a 7-3 kick. You go 6-2 the last eight games, and you seem to be improving, and you won a playoff game on the road. Kyle Shanahan's first year, 21.2 points a game. They were 21st in the NFL in points scored. Matt Ryan threw the ball for 4,379 yards. He had 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and he averaged 7.5 yards per attempt. Okay, not great. Obviously, it was a year you go 8-8. You look a little bit further in the run game, and this includes everybody. They ran for 1,606 yards that year total as a team. 3.8 yards per carry were the Atlanta Falcons in 2015. Fast forward now to the 2017 season, year number one under Steve Sarkisian. 22.1 points a game, which is 15th in the NFL, just above half. Still disappointing coming off the year you did, but not 21st like you were. Matt Ryan only throws for 4,095 yards. He goes 20 touchdowns. He goes 12 interceptions. He actually has a higher yard per attempt, 7.7, as opposed to 7.5. The team runs for almost 200 yards more, 1,847 yards on the ground, 4.3 yard per carry average, as opposed to 3.8. Here's the reason I look at and wanted to compare and contrast. The numbers are almost identical to what they were year number one under Kyle Shanahan. We all know what happened in year number two under Kyle Shanahan. Now, I will not be naive to think, Rick, that it's automatic that in 2018 it's going to be Falcons scoring 34 points a game. That was a magical year where everything was perfect. But I also don't think you're going to stay in the 22-point-a-game range. I could easily see you going up to 26, 27 points a game. You eliminate some of those dropped interceptions and you eliminate some of those balls that ricochet or just the drops in general, you probably add 4 or 5 points a game.
If you eliminate the drop interceptions, we're probably hosting that game as opposed to being up in Philly. Let's take some calls here, Johnny, my boy. Let's go to Eric and Cumming. Eric, is it all about play calling? Is it all about Sark? Or is there other blame to go around? Get in here, man.
Absolutely not. I mean, you guys said it. Sark, you know, had a better record, took us to the second round of the playoffs. We won 2 road playoff games with Sark. Everybody was whining about the same thing last year with Shanahan. You know, I think Sark, it's his first year after taking over an offense that just got really, really, really comfortable with a good offensive coordinator, and they're throwing everything new into the mix. I've never seen so many dropped balls, fumbled balls, and penalties, not just by our top players, but at key points of the game where we needed to have that catch or we needed to have that run in at the goal line and we dropped the ball or fumbled it or whatever. So it's, you know, we have some really, really, really talented players that are not performing at the level they should be performing at, in particularly Julio, Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman's fumbled. I mean, and honestly, I think the defense has actually shown way better this year than last year. So that's what I got.
And you're spot on. The defense absolutely is better than it was a year ago. That, to me, is the most frustrating part. Because you went to being a top five defense, or not top five, you're a top 10 defense in the NFL, ascending towards top five. You had opportunities to win games. You lost the Buffalo game in which you scored, 23-17, I think is the final?
Something like that.
You lose the Dolphins game, 20-17. You lose the Philadelphia game, 15-10. You lose the Vikings game, 14-9. Those are games a year ago you win by 3 touchdowns. I mean, if your defense gives up those type of numbers on a week-to-week basis, you're supposed to win. I just can't place blame simply on Steve Sarkisian. And here's the problem, to go to the barbershop conversation that you have, Rick. Truly, how many guys know what the play call is? Okay, it's simple. We see the rollout pass on fourth down. That's a play. When you look at the design, you look at the concept, you look the way that it was covered, you go, okay, that was a bad play call in that situation. It's 2nd and 5 at midfield, and the Falcons do something that doesn't work. Oh, that play call sucked. Okay, what was the play call? And I'm not saying that to you or to me or to Paul or anybody else. What was the play call, actually? Are people going back, looking at the All-22 and going, okay, that concept's horrible, or is there a lack of execution somewhere along the line? It's open to easily say, you shouldn't have run it there. I agree with some of those. Maybe you pounded it into Philadelphia straight up the middle too many times. Totally agree with that. The last play, terrible. The shovel pass, terrible. But there are also plays that you got to give credit where it's due. 4th down and 6, finding Julio on about a 17 to 18 yard over route to pick up a first down. It's a hell of a play call on 4th down.
And a hell of a throw by Matt Ryan. And then there was this.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Breaking news.
All right, John, let's talk about the upcoming NFL draft. Bryce Love of Stanford will not be in it. He is going back to Stanford for one more year of college. And he probably goes right to the top of returning Heisman candidates, because there's a little bit of a Heisman vacuum when you consider Rudolph gone, Mayfield gone, Jackson gone, all Darnold, Rosen, like all this magnificent talent. Barkley going to the NFL. Bryce Love coming back to Stanford. And here's a hot take for you. I already told you that I thought he was overrated for the next level. He's fast, but he's undersized. Mm-hmm. I think Bryce Love is hiding from the NFL draft right here. I think he got a bad draft grade, and he's going back to try to obviously maybe complete his education, help Stanford win. But I feel a little Nick Chubb thing going on here. Coming back for one more, and a Sony Michel, coming back for one more year because he didn't like the lay of the landscape right now, and he wants to try to improve his draft stock.
And you know what? It's a little bit surprising, but we've seen that with the Stanford, obviously Bryce Love now, the Clemson kids that are all coming back to school. Sometimes it is not about just running to go get money. My thing is simple. If I'm graded first or second round, I am out of there. I can go back to school and get my education, because then you're talking about a lot of guaranteed money. And if you're a first or second rounder, most likely, unless you're just an unmitigated disaster, you're going to get to that second contract where you really can make some cash. Third round or below, I would think about going back to school just to try to improve my draft stock. I haven't looked where Bryce Love was slotted, probably fifth or sixth back coming out, somewhere in there. So he was going to be lower down. So he'll have an opportunity away from the Barkleys and the Chubbs and the Michelles and all those guys to try to, you know, put himself in a bracket by himself.
He set a record last year for most, like, 50-plus yard touchdown runs. Just a magnificent year. It's a huge gain for college football to have Bryce Love back. He is now one of the it guys that we'll all be trying to watch. But, John, in terms of some of my evaluation of mock drafts that I did last night, Sony Michel ended up on the CBS one, the USA Today one, as a late second. Nick Chubb was safely in the third round. We're very early in the process, though.
All right, we're going to have some fun to try to kind of forget about what's going on with the Falcons, at least for one segment. Our slice of life question, simple. You guys can text 404-741-0929 or Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. What office policies at your job just drive you nuts? We'll tell you a few here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, that was our boy Milton from Office Space, and Rick Hamla, John Michaels, trying to get everybody in a better mood after that Falcons loss. It's our slice of life, and it's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. So I'm just going to intro and drop off to my man John with this.
Uh-huh.
This is the "It was nice working with you" segment.
No. People have asked.
Nice working with y'all.
Okay,
see
ya. Here's the office policy that just has us questioning, and it's something that I think Knox Bardeen is taking further up the food chain. You guys all know we were purchased by Intercom. We're very happy to be purchased by Intercom because we know radio will continue here at 92.9 The Game for a long, long time. Intercom is in the radio business. They like local talent. That's good for you and I, Rick. That means local guys like me and you will continue to do radio, and it won't just be Mark sitting back there pushing a button go, "Hey, we're going to play the best of Dan Patrick coming up next on 92.9 The Game."
Who's that?
Yes. So, and matter of fact, Dan Patrick was on the sidelines. First, I didn't realize he was as tall as he was.
I'm a fan of Dan Patrick.
Yeah, I am too. I like Dan.
I like Dan Patrick.
I do. I have no problem with Dan Patrick. The first time I had seen him in person, I just didn't realize how tall he was. But there are some new policies that come along with going to a new company that you have to question. And the one that has all of us perplexed is, before we would do our show and go, "Hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 92.9 The Game and
at Emmy." No, I can't give it to you. Sorry.
So now the new policy.
At military. Nope, can't do it.
That's a little too close. Intercom does not allow us to promote our own social media handles. Also with that, and remember, people from 92.9 The Game, whomever is running the social media page, would tag, "Hey, make sure you listen to," and I can't give their Twitter handles, but "West Durham, Dave Archer, John Michaels on the call. Mike Conti will bring you pregame." And they would tag that from the station account. We can't do that anymore. So we're all kind of asking, like, why is this a policy? It just doesn't make sense. I will abide by said policy because, again, I like the checks that come in every 2 weeks. They really help that whole mortgage thing and car payment and everything else. But what are some of the office policies that drive you nuts? 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I saw one today at Racetrack that I found interesting. I had to stop because we had no bread at the house, so I had to buy Kane a Lunchable to stick in his book bag.
Wait, is that because of the inclement weather we're expecting?
Yeah, there's no bread at Publix because we're going to get an eighth of an inch of snow, but that's neither here nor there. So I had to stop there. Well, at Racetrack, they have a policy now, Paul. And you know there's 73 people working at Racetrack, and we love it. They're all employed, great, got things to do. Well, if the front line gets too busy, they have a bell like they're Carl Dukes, and they ring the bell for more cashiers to come up front. So there's like six of us in line, and you hear ding, 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 and all of a sudden cashier pop out of nowhere, and they're in the front. So I like that policy because it got us out of line, and it got me from behind the lottery purchase buyer who had to go, I'll take a 626 box. And I need the quick pick. It's like, dude, just give her $5 and get whatever they give you.
Hey, look, they're just trying to be like that 20-year-old in Florida that won that $450 million.
So we're talking about office policies that drive you nuts. Well, how about human resources training videos? All right, they drive me nuts. I understand why we do them because we're on the air and we could screw up and cost the company a lot of money, but they are a pain in the schnoz. Also, and this, I say with all due respect, because I get why we can't do it, but we can't have water here in the Kia Studios. We can't have a bottle of water or a container with water for fear that it will spill and ruin stuff. So I get it. But for a guy like me, you know, I like to stay cleansed and hydrated. And one more. Bosses who get butthurt about their employees being 10 or 15 minutes late. And I say this. This is not about here or necessarily anywhere. But if you want to know where a lot of road rage comes from out there on the roads, it's bosses who get upset when their employees are 10 to 15 minutes late. So let's back up. Now that employee is in his truck or her car and trying to get to work so they don't have to hear it from their boss. They're cutting you off. They're flipping you off, creating road rage. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, bosses, lighten up. If an employee's a half hour late, that's a day. 10 to 15 minutes, yo. Just tack it on the back end and keep it moving. So that's what I got.
Somebody texted in and said they make us wear pants.
How dare they?
We are blessed here that we do not have a dress code.
Thank God.
The only thing I have to abide by most of the time is I've been told that I wear too much orange and green.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a...
And you do.
No, I don't. It's my wardrobe. I mean, I have like 10 pairs of shoes that are orange and green.
I'm just messing.
I have like 70% t-shirts that are Miami colored. I'm sorry. I'd like to wear my stuff, but you know what? I was told not so much. Clients might get upset by it, so I don't wear it as much. Every now and then I'll throw a hoodie on.
How about the text coming in from the 404? No alcohol, no weed. Damn corporate world we live in.
Give me a break.
You know, here I gotta piggyback on what you said about the no water.
Mm-hmm.
I can maybe understand that. You know, we do have a lot of expensive equipment in here, but we can't even have food in the bullpen within like a 20 square foot radius of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if I've got to quickly scarf down a lunch, as all of us do, I literally have to hide in Sean's office in the corner.
Yeah.
So I'm not more than 10 feet away from in case one of our commercials skips. That drives me crazy. But I worked at a restaurant once, and this is one of the worst. And this was it's not a five-star, five dining establishment. It was named after a city in Texas, and it wasn't Austin or San Antonio. And there's a lot of them located here, one on 41.
Starts with an H.
Cool place to work, and I'm sure the policy has changed since then. But to serve a greasy burger and fries, we had to have a starched shirt with the crease down the side, like the crease
stupid.
Down the arm. And if it wasn't creased, then you had to go take it back. We had to have five black Bic Click pens.
Five
of
not
them.
Three.
Not three, not two, not six.
Not two, not one, not four.
Five of them.
Now, if you had eight, was your flair better?
We're not in Kansas anymore. And if you didn't have five, you had four, you could buy one from them at $1 a piece. And they didn't sell these at Office Depot. They had to special order them. We had to have a perfect bank in our wallet or in our apron. You had to have fives, ones, tens, the perfect, and they would check it, and you had to have $3 in change with you at all time. The worst of it was if you had any kind of facial hair, you could not even have even a bit of stubble.
That's
They'd
ridiculous.
Make you go to the back and shave with a rusty little disposable razor to learn your lesson. Now, again, this wasn't Ruth Chris. This wasn't Bacchanalia. This was a glorified Chili's. So let's be honest here. Great food, and I'm sure the policy has changed. But remember, going into work on a
Tuesday. Glorified Chili's?
They're not open anymore, aren't they? Didn't we look up that place?
No, there's a couple of them left in the city. I mean, good place. Remember, the food is good. But, you know, I don't need to be stressed out for the Tuesday lunch crowd.
With your pressed white shirt.
With my press. Oh, and this was at the time when we couldn't even have collars. Like, we had to get our shirts altered so that you didn't have collars.
Shut up.
Yeah. And
you had to have that stupid mock collar?
Yes.
Oh,
like
the mock collar is one of the worst
so
looks
you know,
in fashion history.
The text line says the policy hasn't changed.
It has not? That's awesome.
So Mark right now is repealing his resume that he just...
Preacher man, what office policy
you longing
drives you
for
crazy?
That H place.
I know you have our back when it comes to the be here on time thing.
Oh, you know I always got your back. I mean, since moving here, traffic is ridiculous. Anybody, terrible. Even my wife, who's a boss, has to agree that you have to give a cushion in Atlanta because it can go nuts at any time. You can leave your house. Everything seems normal.
Does she make the employees make it up on the back end?
My
or
wife?
Does she, yeah.
No.
So she just shrugs it off
well,
10
most
to 15
of her
minutes.
Employees
ah.
are, well, most of her employees are hourly wages. So, I mean, you get what you get. You clock in. That's what you
right.
get paid for. It's not, you know, and most of her managers, obviously, they're old enough. They know how to get to work on time. And they're responsible, everything like that. But I agree that the traffic situation is ridiculous because we all know that this place is a nightmare to drive in. If it rains, I have to add 30 minutes to my drive.
Do you agree 30. With me that if more bosses were like Amy and cool and gave you a little cushion, 10 to 15, yeah, we'll make... Like, there'd be less road rage in America if bosses were cooler about the 10 to 15 minutes. I'm
well,
telling you, do you agree
Atlanta.
With me?
At least in Atlanta there will be.
I think all over the country.
This guy texts in and said we're on a point system at AT&T. 15 minutes late, you only get like 5 times a year, and then you're fired.
What?
That's ridiculous.
I mean,
that,
so those are the people, God bless them, who are road raging because they don't want to lose their job and they have to get to work.
And here's
give me
my,
a break.
Here's my thing with that. You know, Preacher Man, me, Mark, we have to take our kids. Like, my son can only be to school at a certain time. I can't drop him off and go, dude, just chill. Dad can't be late. You know, I can drop him off when I can drop him off. That's it. A couple other funny ones coming up here on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Rick, you should have to sit through some OSHA videos.
Oh.
No, thank you.
Brutal.
Policies.
Why would you want to put that on your boy?
Policies, question mark. So I can't date the cute girl in accounting?
Well, that's,
I
mean, that's one of the policies.
Somebody said no sex in the janitor's closet. Come on. What
Come
world
on,
is
who,
this we're living
yeah,
in?
Dude, that's ridiculous. Come on, guys. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get back to the Falcons conversation on the other side. What is your headline for the Falcons season? We'll take some calls on that next. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Won't you get fired?
I don't know, but I really don't like it.
So you going to get another job?
I don't think I'd like another job.
Boy, well, in terms of that funny bit right there by the Preacher Man, I actually looked it up. Rick and John, hi. We're in the Kia Studios. Welcome back to our midday party. So is it a wintry mix, or is it a wintry mix? So is it winter-y or is it wintry? It's actually not wintry. And,
it's wintry?
It's wintry. It's W-I-N-T-R-Y. And it says variable precipitation consisting of rain, freezing rain, sleet, or snow, a wintry mix. So,
I thought when you went with wintry, it was just the Southern were too lazy to actually enunciate every vowel that's in. It's a wintry mix.
But no, it is not winter-y. It is wintry. Ella Dorsey would be very proud of us making this distinction.
She would be. I got a couple of funny texts on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to wrap up the conversation on office policies. Two that, you know, we'll kind of get under the skin a little bit. One, Paul, they said, why don't you guys just move closer? Well, if you can pick
up. Why don't you pay me more money?
That's what I'm saying. If you could pick up my house and move it here. I'd be fine with. I'd love to live right next door in my house. The problem is my house here, I can't afford. They don't pay me enough to afford the size home that Rick's been to my house. Paul's been to my house. I have a nice house. It's not great. It's nice, but I can't afford it inside the perimeter.
I can't uproot the lake that we live on and move inside the perimeter. I can't do that.
Not yet.
No, I mean, not even if I was worth 4.4 could I do that. You can't, relocate a lake. So, yeah, John and I are out there, man. I'm
right.
in Lawrenceville. I'm
so
in Snellville. And Preacher Man's way up north. And so, look, it's rough. But, I mean, and hopefully, John, they were being sarcastic. You know, move closer. But that's not a great take.
Well, and here's
that's
another
the opposite
one
of a hot take.
On the funny policy. This is from a guy who works at Charter Spectrum. He said, we have to put a street cone out on every side of our vans here. He said that's 4 cones. So before we leave the job or the office, we have to complete the, quote, circle of safety. All because a child hid inside a wheel well last year in South Carolina and was almost run over. Bad parenting on one incident makes me put 4 freaking cones out every time I park this van.
Why?
It's insane. As if the cone's going to suddenly stop a kid from crawling under the van. Like a kid, like a bad kid's going to look and go, there's a cone there, Rick. Mm-hmm. I cannot cross the cone of trust.
Those cones are a strong deterrent. But we're in the Kia studios here, the Midday Show with Rick and John. We're going to take some headlines on the Falcons' 2017 season. We are the home of the Falcons, of course, and we're butthurt about the loss, but we're moving on. We're trying to get some laughs infused into this thing. So keep the submissions coming on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Office policies that bother you. Let me hit you with a quick headline here, John.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me, I've got a few of them, but this to me is the number one. This would be, you know, the headline in the newspaper or in an online article. Julio, Falcons drop shot at redemption. This, I'm not going to start with Sark. I'm going to start with the drops. I'm going to start with the players on the field who were millionaires to catch the ball and who didn't this year. They had an epic failure of a year catching the football. Our guys, Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones, who we ride or die with, were fair to partly awful this year with the drops. We've talked with Dave Archer. Dave Archer's never seen more, you know, drops leading to interceptions in his life. I certainly haven't at 48 years old. So Julio Falcons drop shot at redemption. And that was what this whole thing was about, was redemption. Getting back to the Super Bowl and cleansing the loss, okay? So the drops kept us from the redemption. That's my first headline.
My headline, and I'll get a musical selection to go along with this here in just a second. I think Mark's still looking for my musical selection. So we'll hold off on my headline. Actually, no, we won't. Falcons, it's pretty simple. This year was two steps forward and two steps back. Because every time they'd seemingly take two steps forward, something would happen and they'd take two steps back. It could be a simple drive. First and foremost, you could drive to midfield and you're feeling good. You've taken those two steps to get from 25 to midfield, and then they'd get a penalty or they'd get a drop or they'd get something like that. You'd get a win and you'd feel great about yourself, and you take two steps forward and go, all right, we're back to the Falcons. And then the next week you come out and score 14 points or 12 points or whatever it may be. They could never get to where they needed to, and it was all year. Two steps forward, two steps back.
I like it. So I assume there's a song that goes with that. So this is a headline slash song title, right? Take two steps forward, take two steps. Is this Paula Abdul? Are you serious?
And you know,
you are the cheesiest radio host in Atlanta. There is no doubt about it. Really, you're hitting me with Paula Abdul. Preacher man, are you about to go to the trunk about this? The trunk of your car about this?
No, but the Solomon Brothers Dumb and Text Line makes me go to the trunk. All these people telling me to leave earlier to get to work. I have responsibilities. I have kids that go to school at certain times. Right. I can't leave earlier. Do you have responsibilities? Do you have children? Do you have to worry about that? No. So if not, then get off my case.
And I'll say in Rick's case, Rick has gotten to the point, you leave at 7:30.
I leave at 7:30 and I get here around
9. There's days that you get here at 9:15. There's days you get here at 9:20. There's days you get here at 8:30.
I wake up at 6:55 and I hit snooze one time. So I get up at about 7:04. For a 10 o'clock show. Mm-hmm. It just should not be that way. It just shouldn't. So, but it is. I got to be here by 9, so I wake up early.
Have you ever considered MARTA? Like going to that East Side station and jumping on MARTA and taking it here?
Here's the problem. I have to drive so far to get to the MARTA that it now. And by the way.
And you have that second job thing that doesn't always come into play.
Well, good point in terms of having more transportation. But like if, okay, I'm stuck. We're all stuck. We're in try. But like being in your own car, you got your own stuff, you got your own tunes, or, you know, you listen to John and Hugh and stuff. So I just kind of like being in that little cocoon as well.
Yeah.
My Kia Sorento cocoon.
There you go. So there's a reason you cannot jump on MARTA or do anything else.
But we're selling this year.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. If you don't want a boathouse, it's magnificent. We've put tens of thousands of dollars into renovating it and improving stuff. So, that house will be on the market springtime.
Now, are you like Jason Bateman in Ozark where you have money like cash bags stashed in the walls anywhere?
I wish. No. We would definitely take them out before. But no, we do not have cash laid around the house. Nor am I going to give my address over the air right now.
The
house will be for sale. If you want to own the house, the Kamla and Charity in Versailles, in my, you know, you, it's yours.
What about the new pup? When are you picking that one up?
Yeah, going to Nashville next weekend.
Okay.
Next weekend? What
next
date
weekend.
Is that?
The 27th.
I'll be in Nashville that weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys should party.
Birthday party up there.
Nice.
We should probably leave now because traffic's going to be bad. If you just had a different job, it wouldn't take you so long to get there.
Dude, let's go see some blues, man. You down with that or not?
No.
What are you talking about?
The whole family's up there. We got.
Oh, so we're not hanging out.
We're not hanging out.
That's a perfect time, Paul, for you to get away. Just, dude, I'm going to bounce.
Yeah, tell that to my mother.
I'll tell her what she's going to do to me.
I'm going to
She'll yell at you, not me.
Hey, I'm going to see some blues, man.
One thing you've learned in life, you always stay on the good side of mom.
That is true.
All right, man. So let me hit you with another headline, John. Now, let's go to the phones. 404-741-0929. We want you guys and girls from Rise Up Nation to play along here. We love our Falcons. We're in this together. What is your headline to sum up the 2017 season? I got one more for you, John, and we can hit the phones here. It's the year of the body part. Okay, you had the butt interception with Lattimore. You had the kneel knee interception. You had the Freeman butt fumble running into the back of Alex Mack. It was the year of the body part. 404-741-0929. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios.
Somebody said it's the problem with you millennials. You think you can come in late. The last I checked, all of us are 20 years past being millennials.
Did we just get accused of being millennials?
There's not a millennial in this room.
No.
That's like almost a compliment. It's like getting carded right now. I'm like, so this skunky white streak of hair right in the front didn't give it away that I'm north of 21 years old?
I know what it is. I came into work last week with those stupid tight joggers on.
That's right.
So millennial I am.
You've been labeled, John.
Yeah. Maybe we could get the clean version of the Michael Rapaport sweatpant argument, which, Mark, you missed yesterday being out. Jahi edited the back half of it, the first two parts where there's an S-bomb and an F-bomb. So we had to dump most of that yesterday. So.
From the Robbie Rosenhaus School of Editing, huh?
Wow.
Robbie just his school of editing was, let me just go to YouTube and hit play. That was his school of editing.
Wait a second. I just got another text I didn't want from Robbie Rosenhaus.
Yeah, me too. I've been waiting for this my entire life. The Vikings are the greatest thing ever. Oh, Robbie.
He is blowing up my phone about the Vikings.
They won the Super Bowl, right?
Not yet, okay, but in his eyes, they're on their way for sure.
Yeah,
and hopefully they are. Later in the week, John and I are going to – somebody, anybody, please beat the frickin' Patriots.
Yeah.
So just somebody, anybody. It doesn't even have to be the purple team.
Nah, I don't care.
It can be the Jags with their stupid two-tone outfits. Just somebody beat that damn team.
Let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. Your Falcons headline is what? We'll go to Michael in Cartersville on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Michael, how you doing?
Great show, guys. My headline is lack of consistency from the wide receivers kills the Falcons' chance of going back to the Super Bowl. And listen to me. Preacher Man says keep it real on this show, so how about this? Trade Julio Jones for Antonio Brown, because that man, when the ball's close to his hands, he's like a spider web. He don't drop them. He catches them.
Michael, appreciate it. Unfortunately, it takes two teams for that trade to be facilitated. And if you call the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would sound like this. Hey, and I'm not even sure who the general manager is at this point. Hey.
Probably somebody named Rooney.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Rooney. We're calling to inquire about Antonio. Hello? Hello? They would hang up on you before you got Antonio Brown's entire name out. And I want to go back to something. And there's a guy that's been texting. Him and I have just been having a nice discussion about Matt Ryan. He said, and I don't have the full text in front of me, but I'll paraphrase, and we'll get back to your calls on this for a second. He basically says, you know, me and a bunch of my friends say it's time to do, you know, get rid of Matt Ryan. It's time to move on from Matt Ryan. He's a 32-year-old quarterback who, in this gentleman's estimation, will never have another MVP season. We're never, and he said he'll bet his life, we will never win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. So I asked him, I said, simply, what's your solution? He goes, sometimes you got to take two steps backwards to take step forward. He said, I'm all for trading him for what, you know, a couple of first-round picks. And again, if you can get somebody to do that, whatever. He goes, I'd be up for trading Matt Ryan for a couple of first-round picks and then taking Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield and starting over.
Look, I'm going to entertain it in this way. If we are going to make a bold move with one of our superstars, I would be more into trading Julio Jones than Matt Ryan. I trust Matt Ryan more than I trust Julio Jones. See, the drop thing is now being inserted into his name. Julio Drones. It's because he drops all these balls. I have gone back and forth with Julio Jones over the year. It seems to be an every other year thing. At the point where I'm disappointed and frustrated with him, he has a magnificent Hall of Fame impeccable season, and then he comes back and continues the disappointment with me. Now, on Antonio Brown, I tweeted this out watching the game on Sunday, because the fourth down catch on the left sideline with one hand with Boye draped all over him is one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. Okay, everybody calls that stupid Odell Beckham catch the greatest catch ever. He caught that ball in a loss, ladies and gentlemen, in the regular season. You can't put that up there with greatest catch of all time. And I know AB and the Steelers lost, but that catch was better than Beckham's. Antonio Brown is the only guy in NFL history with five consecutive 100-catch seasons. Rice never did it. None of these guys ever did that. Let's just take a look at Antonio Brown. Feels like he's been in the league 12 years, right? It's been eight. Mm-hmm. He's 29 years old. He is the greatest of right now, the Gorn, as I like to say, and he might be the GOAT. He has 733 grabs for 9,910 yards and 59 touchdowns right now. If he plays seven or eight more years, you know, up to 36, 37, I'm just saying, he may go down as the GOAT of wide receivers.
I'll give you the greatest of right now. That obviously is something that changed from a year ago because Julio had that title a year ago. Julio in a down year this year had 1,400 yards, so I can't crap on Julio like that. And if his catch in the Super Bowl, if the Falcons take three knees, and that's going to go down as one of the greatest catches of all time because his tightrope act over a guy to catch the ball, go down, something that nobody else is going to be able to do. Jerry Rice had 22,895 yards receiving.
So if Antonio Brown plays till he's 45,
yeah, maybe he catches Jerry Rice.
Maybe he's got a shot. On the Julio thing, John, look, I'm still riding or dying with the guy. I don't want to trade him, but if I got to trade Ryan or Julio, I'm trading Julio. It's very simple, dude. What have you done for me lately? And what we've seen lately from Julio Jones has not nearly been worth the money we're paying him.
We'll take some calls. 404-741-09. I don't agree with that. I mean,
are you kidding me? He had double digit drops this year.
Guys drop balls, and it was not
if you're purported to be the greatest in the league.
You don't drop balls
if you're that guy.
He had a down year this year in which he had 1,444 yards, which is actually more yards than he had a year ago. 88 catches, which is more catches than he had a year ago. His touchdowns were down from 6 to 3. So
he had three touchdowns.
Yeah,
dude.
That's not all on Julio.
Your boy Njoku, the rookie tight end for the Browns, had more receiving touchdowns than Julio Jones.
Again, his down year.
Less drops.
His down year is 88 for 1,444.
And double-digit drops led the
league.
Julio's on my list right now, man.
Okay, we'll get back to the calls. What are your headlines for the Falcons season that's coming up next at 404-741-092? And if you got any other ideas how to fix them, fire away. We'd love to hear them on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Julio Drones. Julio Drones.
I got your wintry mix right here because that's what's up.
It's just hard to really tell you like what we could have done better or this and that. I haven't watched film. I need to go back and see the film. The effort was definitely there from everyone, you know, just going out there and just competing, coming out here to Philly. It didn't matter where we play at, you know, we come out here and play for one another.
Really, Julio, you were wondering, like, how you lost? How about some drop balls by you? Rick Hamill, John Michaels, and we're going to take more calls here on headlines to sum up the 2017 season. John, I thought I might have been a little bit crazy saying that Antonio Brown, and by the way, I like the idea, I would flip Julio Jones into Antonio Brown in a second. Everybody in the league would. But, John, I said Antonio Brown is the Gorn, greatest of right now, with a chance to become the GOAT. And I did a little math on the numbers, that historic numbers that Jerry Rice put up. 1,549 grabs, 22,895 yards, and a staggering 197 touchdowns. So Antonio Brown right now is at 733, 9910, and 59 touchdowns. So I did some math. Mm-hmm. Jerry Rice played 20 years.
Yep.
Antonio Brown has played 8. So, and obviously, Antonio Brown, you got to, like, play as long as Kareem or as long as, you know what I'm saying? So if he plays 3 more years and taps out, the point is moot. If he plays 12 more years to match Jerry Rice's 20 years in the NFL, and I based the math, John, on 100 catches per year for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. And you say, well, when he's 39, 40, 41, he won't be doing that. Yes, but when he's 29, 30, 31, 32, he's probably still going to have 125 grabs with 1,500 yards. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I kind of just mushed it down to 100 grabs, 1,100 yards, and 8 touchdowns for 12 more years. I don't think that's nutty. It's a lot of great football he needs to string together. But let me do the math on this. So that's 1,200 more grabs to go with 733. It would give him 1,933, way more than Rice's 1,549. The yards would add 13,200 to his 99.10, bringing him to 23,110, more than Rice's 22,895. And the touchdowns are going to not make the cut. It would be 96 TDs at 80 a year for the next 12, added to 59 for $1.55. So 155 TDs, 197 for Rice. I'm just saying, if Brown wants to play 12 more years, I think he has a chance to make it a debate.
Here's the debate that I have with that. We've seen when Ben Roethlisberger's not healthy, the Landry Joneses and other guys of the world just can't get Antonio Brown the ball the same way. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have much left. He's a guy, I mean, okay, let me back up for a second. He doesn't have 11 or 12 more years left. He might have 4 or 5. Ben's a guy that, you know, during the year after he got blasted by Jacksonville with 5 picks, contemplated retirement. Ben's also a guy that came into the year with some injuries. That's the caveat with Antonio Brown that can change things. You got to think, Jerry Rice played with Joe Montana and then Steve Young. And then when he goes to Oakland, didn't they have Rich Gannon, who was an MVP at the time that he was there? So Heath had 3 guys throwing him the football, and I know Gannon's not a Hall of Famer, but the stretch that he played with Rich Gannon, they were fantastic. And even at 40 years old, Jerry Rice had 92 catches, 1,211 yards. 41, he had 63 for 869, and then his final year at 42, he bounced around 30 catches for 429.
Pardon me, I'm just saying we can get back to the Falcons talk, but I thought I had to do the math because I'm like, am I crazy? Can Antonio, like, so, you know, you got to add a lot together here. You got to play 12 more years. And to John's point, Pittsburgh would have to get follow-up Ben Roethlisberger with another at least Pro Bowl-type guy, if not Hall of Fame guy, to keep Antonio Brown getting peppered with balls like that.
And that's the problem. And in today's day and age of specialized coverages and everything else, and I know Antonio's a beast, that would be really hard to come by. Let's get back to the phones, 404-741-0929. We'll go to Eddie in Ackworth. Eddie, what's your thoughts and your headline for the Falcons this year?
Well, I'll give you a headline. My thoughts this year is that the game we watched was just a culmination of the Falcons all year. Total frustration up and down, and I don't know why we expected anything different because the whole season was just frustration. The headline to me is Falcons blow it at the guard position. Guys, this goes back to the draft. Chris Chester had retired, and they decided in the second round, his name escapes me, the linebacker from LSU. What's
Duke Riley.
I'm sorry, I can't remember his name.
Duke Riley.
Duke Riley, thank you. So we took Duke Riley. They completely ignored the guard position and said, hey, we'll just roll in Schweitzer. You can't account for the injury to Levitre, but it did happen, and they just roll in Garland. That, to me, guys, is the entire issue with this team on offense. They had no push up front other than Alex Mack. And the guard position was ignored by this administration, and it's very frustrating to me that they did that.
Appreciate.
I mean, that's a good one right there. And Chris Chester's retirement at the time, we're like, I hope this isn't a big deal, but we had some great continuity on that offensive line last year. And so they never were really able to fill that hole. And now I believe, and I've crunched the mock drafts, and I've already done it. I've already figured out 1, 2, 3, and 4 in terms of rounds in the draft. We got to go interior offensive line at the end of the first round. That's where I'm at.
In fairness, Duke Riley was a third-round pick and not a second-round pick. He was the 75th pick overall. They did
They traded out of the second round.
Down into
the
third.
They got a couple of fifths that they really wasted, in my opinion, when you talk about Brian Hill and Saubert. And I can't remember. They had 3 fifth-rounders. And they had Casey as well. And I can't remember which ones directly came from that trade. But very hit-and-miss draft last year for the Falcons.
Yeah,
very hit-and-miss.
It was not as solid as the year before. I'll agree, though, with the premise that Eddie had. Guard is obviously something, and it's going to go into this offseason as you've got to look and address it. The guard position was not as good as we'd hoped for. Levitre actually was playing well before the tricep injury. The issue now with Andy Levitre is he's got a huge number attached to him going into next year. His dead money is very, very low. So unless they can work out, I guess, some kind of extension for Andy Levitre, I'd be shocked if Andy is brought back. He's going to make almost $9 million this upcoming season. If I remember his dead money, it's like $1 million or $2 million. So you'd save literally like $6 or $7 million in cap space if you cut him, whatever that date may be. But the issue becomes there. then do you trust Ben Garland and Wes Schweitzer as your guards? Do you go into free agency to try to sign one? Are you spending multiple draft choices? Do you think Sean Harlow, a guy who you stashed, is going to be ready? There's a lot of questions with that position.
And it becomes murkier because guess who's a free agent? Ben Garland, okay? So to me, I would try to work something out with Lavitre, maybe bring him back at a lower number. I don't know, but I have pinpointed the guy. I'm not going to give him to you yet. But I have pinpointed a guy who played center in college who I believe the Falcons should take with the 26th pick. Let's go to our boy Brandon here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Brandon, give us your headline on the Falcons this season.
My headline for this year is cracked rear view, because as I look back over this team for the year, I look at what should have been the offensive game plan and what should have worked, and it didn't. And I'm sitting here looking, and I'm looking at the same thing, the guard position. You know, we've gone from being a team that scored 33.8 last year to we couldn't win a game that we held a team to 15 points this year, and none of it makes any sense to me. I may need a little more space to try to figure it out, but I'm looking at Maya Tahuma or Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas, one of those two guys, if not both of them. I think they're the fifth and seventh guards to be listed at Walter Football, and Nick Saban said that Frank Ragnow was an amazing athlete, hardly ever got beat, had an ankle injury. I mean, he's 6'5", I think 335 pounds. We need somebody that can push the man in front of him on his back. And, John Michaels, before I let you go, I just want to tell you that you did beat me. I said that Tim Williams would have more sacks than Tack McKinley this year, so I get to eat that one. I don't know if you took me on the 25 for that one.
Nah. Probably not.
Roll Tide.
Thanks, Brent. I don't think we actually made a friendly wager on that one. But, yeah, Tack balled out. I'm looking back at the draft class, and there's so much that's happened since the draft. All right, it's Tack McKinley. We think this kid's going to be a star, and he got better as the year went along. Deion Jones, or I'm sorry, not Deion Jones, Duke Riley, for a third-rounder, he was okay.
We didn't even get close to what we needed
from a third-rounder. Sean Harlow never played. He was on the 53 but never active, so we don't know what he is as of yet. DeMonte Casey looks like a player in the fifth round.
If he keeps his head about him.
Yeah, special teamer, potentially rotation guy at defense. We don't mind DeMonte Casey. Brian Hill's not even on the team anymore. He was cut, so that's a fail in the fifth round. And Eric Saubert, as a fifth-rounder, I mean, he's on the team, and he was inactive a whole bunch.
Wait a second. He just got called for another false start penalty. Midday Show with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let me go back to the Ragnow thing. And again, analyzing three mock drafts last night, Walter Football, USA Today, and CBS, Ragnow was a third-round pick. And so I'm not looking at Ragnow at the end of the first round. And since we're mentioning names, I'll go ahead and give you the name. His name is Billy Price from Ohio State. He's a center. He's award-winning, back-to-back All-American guy. He's known as a leader on that team. He's a badass, really, from what I've read about him. And so that's the guy I want. I want Billy Price, center out of Ohio State with the 26th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft.
Yeah, I have not looked that far ahead. I know I've started to kind of go through some of the underclassmen that are declaring, starting to look at some of the positions. To me, it's guard, it's tight end, and then maybe wide receiver.
Let me throw this at you too, John. In terms of these mock drafts at 26, would you be okay? USA Today is mocking to our Falcons Vita Vea of Washington.
Yeah, I like him.
I'm
ball
a big
player.
Fan of his. CBS is mocking Daron Payne to our Falcons.
Ball player.
At 26. And then you have the Walter Football mock, which I would like to throw away. Somebody named Isaiah Oliver, cornerback from Colorado.
Yeah, I don't need a corner.
So in the first round?
Yeah, no.
Are you kidding me? So anyway, a lot of people have us going interior defensive lineman at the end of the first round. If those guys were available, I could maybe get my guard later. I'm just saying, I don't think that Daron Payne and Vita Vea are going to be there at 26.
Got to remember, Dontari Poe will be a free agent. Courtney Upshaw is a free agent. Adrian Claiborne, who plays some D-tackle as well, is a free agent. That's a place where you think, oh, no, we don't need to address D-line. When you look at it, you go, boy, we might need to address D-line.
John, I think two of those three guys are going to come back. I think Courtney Upshaw, we're going to get him at a similar number that he was on last year, which is a low-do number. It's not going to be a big deal. And I think they might have to pick between the other two guys, pick between Poe and giving Claiborne a raise. But I think two of those three guys are still going to be with us next year.
That'll be interesting. Let's take one more before we go to break. Dwight's been hanging on in Atlanta. Dwight, how you doing?
Hey, dilly-dilly.
Dilly-dilly.
Yeah, to me, I think we just kind of all over the place with this, you know, whether it's Julio, Gordon, whatever it is. To me, it boils down to one thing, and that's simple coaching, because You mean to tell me if we can't get the ball on the two-yard line and we can't push the ball in because they're not going to put Dante or Poe in there, as even as a decoy, and push the ball on the two-yard line? Because the truth be told, if they'd won, would we even be having this conversation?
No, we wouldn't be. Had they won the football game, we'd be talking about going to Minnesota and getting a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
No, what they needed to do was have Dontari Poe in at fullback and run a play action and have him out in the flats and we throw it to him.
That was your favorite play from the year.
I mean, I'm totally kidding right here. But, yeah, where did Poe as the fullback in jumbo packages go? It just vanished. It disappeared, and I wasn't with that.
Well, the OG of college football might be making another move that just proves what he really is all about. Is Hugh Freeze the answer? We'll discuss that next during the college football cheat sheet on Sports Radio 92.9.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the college football cheat sheet on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And it is time for the college football cheat sheet brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Hugh Freeze, a guy who was exiled from Ole Miss, all the indiscretions he had, potentially just handing over bags of cash to recruits and everybody else. Well, doesn't look like it's going to take him long potentially to land new employment, as Hugh Freeze was on the campus of the national champion Alabama Crimson Tide yesterday, Rick. And apparently talking to Nick Saban about his now vacant offensive coordinator position.
Well, it's nice to rejoin the program. Hi, guys. Been away for a minute. You see the restroom here, you
Doesn't
know, where I tinkle on cockroaches. It's out of order. Mm-hmm. I walked in it. I'm like, it was like a war zone. Big old holes in walls and stuff, and there's no urinals.
You
and I'm like,
on the door?
Did you just pee in one of the holes?
No, I didn't. Nor did I pee on a cockroach, but I had to go down to 8. I had to pee like Matt Harvey. I really did. And so that was a sojourn. That took about 15 minutes. So, hi, Rick Campbell, back to work here. And in terms of this Hugh Freeze thing, it seems so nutty and so wacky and like so no way. And then you think, why not? And then you think, who else? Who else are they going to get? It is so late in the process, John. But it is going to be very interesting if this happens to watch Nick Saban belittle and undress a former head coach who he used to scheme against and who beat him twice. And now he's going to be, you know, undressing him and belittling him on the sidelines as he has done with every offensive coordinator. And I believe that is the reason why Brian Daboll went back to the NFL.
Absolutely.
Like, how dare you? Like, yell it, dude, the Clemson game. Again, 7 minutes to go, up 18, and you are undressing your offensive coordinator in front of God and everybody, 30 million people watching on ESPN. Hell no! So I'm not – good for Brian Daboll getting out of there, man. And obviously the Alabama stint got him a ring, and it got him a better job.
Yeah, it did. It got him back as an offensive coordinator in the National Football League with the Buffalo Bills. Real quick before we ask the question about Hugh Freeze, you did see Mekhi Brown – remember the player at Alabama who went nuts, punched a Georgia player, went after a Alabama coach? Yeah, he's not on the Alabama team anymore. He's transferring to Tennessee State.
So you helped me win a national championship.
Now get lost.
But you are completely insubordinate and wacky nuts, so bye-bye.
Yeah, now go to Tennessee State.
Is that a JUCO? Or?
No, Tennessee State is an FBS program.
So HBCU. He has been knocked down at a whole league?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Damn.
Have a good life. You're no longer welcome on the Alabama campus. So the question's simple. And, Mark, you can chime in, and Paul as well. Would Hugh Freeze be the answer? And I'm going to say unequivocally, absolutely yes. Nick Saban had hell trying to stop Hugh Freeze's offense at Ole Miss. The problem was Hugh Freeze could never disseminate, hey, I need to maybe run the ball when we're up 24-6 on Bama. They would just keep throwing it. When they had a quarterback, Chad Kelly, that could throw the football, they were next to unstoppable.
Bo Wallace was good against Alabama.
Other than he'd throw some picks.
The body of work stunk, but, man, he rose in those Alabama games.
Point being, you put that offense now with Tua most likely being your new quarterback, and Alabama's defense, like I said earlier, pencil them in, pencil Clemson in. They will both be in the playoffs next year.
So if Hugh Freeze gets this job, and Hugh Freeze favors a wide open, vertical offense, and then you have Nick Saban, who is sort of always kind of wanting to just run the ball, bleed clock, you know, beat the other team's brains in for 60 minutes. That's going to be an if Freeze gets this job, it'll be interesting to see, because he's going to have to amend his system for Nick Saban's system. Mm-hmm. Okay, Hugh Freeze ain't the guy anymore. So if he gets the job, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. It's also going to be interesting to see what Alabama does with their defensive coordinator, now Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee.
Right.
So they have two vacancies at very, very important spots, obviously.
Real quick, the Tennessean actually reported that the guy, Makai Brown, had applied to Tennessee State before the national title game.
Really?
Yeah, so maybe he realized I wasn't playing at linebacker. I want to go get some more run somewhere else. At the FCS school.
And like, dog fans are like, really? You kept this dead man on your roster for one more game, and he was actually making plays against us?
Clotheslined one of our guys.
Give me a break.
A kick.
Like, that's one of the worst decisions by a referee, not to throw a guy out of a game. It is so ultra-automatic when you swing at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't get it. I mean, if conspiracy theorists, if they want to run with something, just point to that. That was nutty. That was bizarre.
I said this to Paul earlier. Do I think Hugh Freeze is the answer? Yes. I think Hugh Freeze will go there and probably average about 45 points a game and do whatever the heck they want. I also think I could take a PlayStation playbook right now and go call plays at Alabama and be successful.
That's not true. You said Tecmo Bowl.
I did say Tecmo Bowl. Four plays, all I need. Hey, I've got Tua. Drop back and throw it. Hey, I've got Damian Harris and Najee Harris and all these other, you know, five-star running backs, and I've got a great offensive line. I'll just turn and hand it to them. There doesn't have to be a lot of creativity with that. Hey, I have a defense that'll hold you to 10 points or less most games.
If Hugh Freeze gets this job, I think it makes Tua Tagovailoa like a Heisman. I think he's already going to be sort of in that Heisman conversation coming into the year, because I think he's going to be the starter for Alabama. But if you have Hugh Freeze, who's a little pass happy, mm-hmm. I think that would puff up his numbers even a little bit more if Nick Saban let it happen. Do you agree with me that Tua is on the Heisman radar next year?
If he's the starter, yeah, absolutely. The only issue he'll have, and you see this at places like Alabama, he'll still have to share the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about star running backs behind him. And again, you'll have young, great receivers in Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. You've got great defensive players. So he could go out and might only have to play 2.5 quarters, where his numbers will be down.
No, you're right.
But with all the guys you talked about gone to the NFL, Baker Mayfield gone, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, JT Barrett, all these guys,
Geis.
Sam Darnold, you know, Josh Rose, all these players that have been in college seemingly forever being gone. Boy, I'm trying to think on January 16th. Tua's name will be there.
Bryce Love?
Bryce Love will obviously be there. I think Jake Browning of Washington back for a senior season. His name's going to be around. I think Kelly Bryant's name will be around if he's even the starter at Clemson. These are just some names off the top of my head. Sam Ellinger, one kind of out of left field to pay attention to. And Kyler Murray, who will take over for Baker Mayfield. You know that he'll put up some monster numbers.
Am I wrong to say that as I scroll back with all these Alabama quarterbacks, from Coker to Blake Sims to A.J. McCarron and Greg McElroy, and I'm an A.J. McCarron guy, so maybe with this exception, but I think Tua is a better passer than all of those guys.
He has the potential to be.
So I'm just saying, I think the sky is the limit for Tua next year.
Mark Owens, Hugh Freeze, knowing what a pain in the butt he is with that offense, does that scare you if he ends up at Bama?
It does, but you hit a nail on the head. You have a former head coach getting yelled at and belittled by Nick Saban. How much of that will he take? There's only so much money in the world you can sit there and say, man, I've been in this position before.
Shoot.
Stop yelling at me. We're up by 30. Stop yelling at me.
Dude, he could yell at me all he wants.
I'm with M.O. Dude, I get paid too, Nick. You coach the defense. You have put the offense in my hands. Now let me do my job.
But it also has to do with Freeze's ego too. You have a guy that's a head coach. How many times in this business alone do we have part-time employees,
every day,
interns that come in here and say, oh, I've had my own radio show. Oh, I know how to do this. Oh, I know what to do.
Wow.
All right, well, it's a whole another world, you know,
you
and
just
I understand.
Took a shot at our entire part-time staff.
I'm just saying. You know, Hugh Freeze is going to have to know his role, and Saban's going to have to know who he's dealing with.
M.O., we had beef last week with the nighttime show. I think we effectively squashed the beef.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to see Andy or Jarvis, and hopefully,
weekend.
Hopefully there's a bro hug there. I don't know. Maybe it's icy. I don't know. But
you're not worried that Jarvis may body slam you?
Just a little bit. There's a little bit of me.
I'm not talking about full-time employees.
Yeah, they're full-time, so that doesn't count. Mark's just taking shots at everybody that works nights
and doing a great job, by the way.
And fills in. No, so you're talking about Randy McMichael. I can't believe Randy is our guy. He's
Randy,
a dog.
Stop telling me you've done this before. I know you've been here before.
He's
out of my wallet, Randy.
He's somewhere trimming a bush right now, preparing for Snowpocalypse 2018.
No, this,
coming
see,
up
this
later
is
today.
Where you just let the bush die. Because it's going to freeze and the bush will be dead. And then you whack it tomorrow and the leaves just fall off.
Dude, he was complaining last week about what a lady from the HOA.
HOA,
and he called her a heifer.
In
he
the car
called the lady a heifer.
I was
the greatest line ever.
Crying laughing in the car. My wife is now part of our HOA board.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's good news
mine
for you guys,
too.
Right?
My wife's on the board.
So you're just letting the grass grow till two feet high, right?
It's winter time.
You got to set the example. There's no cutting grass right now. Trust
yeah,
me.
Nobody has to cut grass this time. There's also there's some people in our community that have their car, like your driveway comes to a certain point. I don't need half your car out in the middle of the road. If I had a crappier car, I would just wham their car. Because it's literally halfway out in the middle of the road.
Preacher man, can you borrow your car real quick?
I was just going to say, you can borrow mine.
I just whip around the corner, boom! Sorry, I didn't see your car. You're halfway out in the road. Dummy. Take a break. We'll come back. Hey, play calling or lack of execution. We'll tell you why Steve Sarkisian should stay next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And you know what? That heifer of HOA getting on my nerves, all right? I'm going to trim the bush, woman, all right?
The Bunker Mentality.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.